turn the recorder back on. So we went in under developer web console, right? Mm-hmm. We went into developer web console, and then we brought up the problem that has a problem with the if in it. And this is what we're seeing. Okay, so if I go to Notepad and I open this file, problem one, and we had changed the lowercase if, so this is what we've got there now. And why am I not seeing my thing to take a picture? There. Okay, so this, whoops. Nothing's going to work. That's what it boils down to. Okay, so we changed the capital I there. And when we ran it, we got the fat problem, there was an else,
right,
which I'm not real clear why it decided that else was where the problem was.
It should have said if is not a keyword, right? Or something.
Yes. So, for what it's worth, you get a little bit of help. Okay. And they all have one of these that you can go in and look at in the browser. But if you're going to do this professionally, the company is going to have an editor that they own, and they're going to have you work with the editor. Okay. All righty. So, again, where we did was we went to, clicked on the menu, three lines that make the menu thing. Then clicked on developer, and then clicked on web console, and we brought this up.
They also have a debugger, though, maybe.
I think that got just to the same place, actually. See, it's debugger, and the console is just which one you want to get into. Okay. So, if you want to experiment with that, have a good time. Unfortunately, and I'm going to change that back to a lowercase I so that the next time I run it, I don't say, oops, this isn't working, why? It's probably a realistic example as we go looking for it. But anyway, okay, what I'm going to look at today, because we actually only have an hour left, right? So I'm going to go in and again skip over DOM, because that's kind of new stuff. And I'm going to look at some introduction to functions. So you want to go down and pick up functions, and we're going to look at an introduction to functions. Functions are set up so that you can tell from the inside of your program, you can say, go run this function. And it will go and execute the function. Now, lots of times, what we put in functions are things that we will want to do in a lot of programs. So we write a function to do it, and then we can just use that function in a lot of programs. You're not going to see some very realistic examples right now because I'm just introducing functions. So we'll talk a little bit more about the value of them when we get to something where I can show you the value. But for now, you're just learning functions. So intro function 5.html. Okay, so I've got a page here. I've got a header on the page. And I've got a pop-up that says, hello world. And it's an alert. Now, the reason I did this is so that I could put out part of the page and then show you what happens, kind of split up the page, and alert stops everything. Alert stops all processing. Okay? Until I click that OK button, we're going to just sit here forever looking at the same thing. So what I'm doing is stopping processing, and then you can see what happens after I continue the processing. So prior to putting out the alert, I have a header up there. And again, you're best doing this in Firefox. Chrome and Explorer tend to delay things before they show them. So you're best doing this in Firefox. Okay, so then I'm going to click OK. And as soon as I click OK, then you see the second header. So now we're going to do a view page source and see the code. And this particular one, I forgot that I had this. Sometimes I have them in XML. And this particular, did I go in the right place? I'll go look in a minute. This particular one is in XML, but it doesn't make any difference. Okay? The logic is still the same, and I'll go and look. So in the script, I have type equals text JavaScript. My function, and I write the word function to tell it's a function, and then I give it a name. So my function said basic hello world. That's the name of it. And I always put two parentheses after the function name. If I am sending data to the function, which we'll look at in a minute, then what I do is the data will, a place to receive the data will be inside those parentheses. And we're going to see that in just a minute. So the only thing my function does is put out that alert. It says, hello world. And then I stop. Now notice the function is in the head. It doesn't have to be, it can be in the body. But lots of times people kind of put them out of the way and they put them up in the head. So now I come down to my body and I said, this is a header before the function. And I wrote that out. And then I said, script type equals text JavaScript. So I have two scripts in here. One is in the head and it holds the function. And the other is down in the body. So I'm saying script type equals text JavaScript. And then I just write the name of the function with the two parentheses. And it knows that it should go up and execute that function, the function with that name. So you see the alert come up. Then I close the script, and then I wrote, this is the header after the function, and we see that header come up. So I put an alert in the function on purpose, just so you could see when the function was happening. Okay? So I wrote something out, then I said, do the function, and it went and did the function, and printed out alert, hello world, and then the function was over, it came back, and it wrote out the next header. Does that make sense? We okay so far, so good? Okay. And now I'm going to go back and make sure, because I didn't even notice when I was looking at these the other night that it was XML. It's XML, and apparently, hopefully I changed a few of them. But a lot of what I wrote was written in XML. And so apparently I didn't change them. I probably should go back and change them. But all the code is just fine. The code is no different. It is just selling it XML, and maybe if I have time this weekend, I'll go in and make the XML go away. But it's the same. Okay, it doesn't change anything. Now this one says, hello, Anne. And again, I'm using an alert. And it says, hello, Anne. And when I say okay, it says this is the function after the header. Well, this one is back to using regular HTML5. So apparently I did do some conversion, I just missed the first one. Okay? So, this is back to HTML5. So again, I have a script up here, but this time the script is saying, hello, Anne. Now, how did it do that? Well, down in the body, when I called the script, I sent the word Anne in quotes. So inside the parenthesis, I sent the word Anne in quotes. It got received. Okay? So here is where I sent it. Here is where it is being received. And it has set up a little area called past name. And it has put Anne in it. So it has received Anne as something to store in a field called past name. So now down in the function, I say, put up an alert that says hello, concatenated with past name. And it says, hello, Anne. Yes?
Why do you do all that instead of just writing hello, Anne?
Because then I couldn't show you how to do a function. It's as simple as that. I mean, in all honesty, that's why. Would I ever do this in reality? Absolutely not.
I guess what I mean, in a function, what would be just an example of that would make
a calculation, for example. If you had a complex calculation, or if you have an if statement that does different calculations, you could send the information of the function and say, give me back the answer. Now, why would you do it in a function? Because you tend to want to get the clutter out of the main part of the program, and if you have a complicated if statement and complicated things, that it may be better to just take them and get them out and put them someplace separate. The other reason is that, for example, if you have an ID number, the last digit in your ID number is usually what's called a check digit, which means it does a formula on the rest of your ID and it comes up with that last digit. And that's how it can verify that when you put in a ID number, that it's a valid ID number for a particular credit card, because it does that calculation. Well, I want to use that in a load of programs, maybe. I don't want to rewrite it all the time, so I make it a function, and then I can just copy and paste it in here, or I can call it, but we're not going there right now. But I can just copy and paste it in here, and it's all worked out. So those are two practical examples. But I can't start out that way,
right,
or I'm going to have you scratching your head in a different way. Okay? So that's why I'm doing this, is to show you how to use a function.
Yeah.
Okay? Questions? Okay, so now the third one. This one says, enter your name. So now I'm prompting somebody to enter your name, and I'm entering Anne, because I always enter Anne when it says prompt for your name. Okay, so I'm entering Anne. And it now comes back with an alert that says, hello, Anne. Okay, so this is how I did that one.
Excuse me, here it's saying, for the prompt, do we need to prefix it by window, or is that...
No.
We can just say prompt.
Yes. Okay, so on this one, down in my regular program, inside JavaScript, I set up a variable called the name. And then I said I want to put up a prompt. And I mentioned this one other time, that a prompt can be written as prompt or it can be written as window prompt. Because in fact, it is a prompt within a window. So you can write it as window prompt, you can write it as prompt. And so you can cross out window dot there and just use prompt and it will be just fine. So I said, enter your name, regular prompt like we've always had, and it is stored in the name. So then I said, okay, now do basic hello and send the name. So down here, I have got a area of variable called the name.
The capital, is that how you put the space without putting the space in there?
Yes. That's called camel case, and some people like that because it makes it more readable. Okay? And so I called it the name. So now I am sending this up to here. So I'm sending, it's receiving. Now in this example, it's receiving as past name. It's got a different name. It doesn't have to have a different name. I could have used the name up there. And there are fanatics on both sides of this. Some that definitely want everything to have its own unique name. Some that say, I'll remember it better if it has the same name. And there's not a lot of people that say, eh, I don't care. It goes either way. So in this case, I have the send name is I'm sending the name. It's being received and stored in a variable called past name.
It really doesn't matter what you call that.
Call it apples and oranges.
It just does it by position.
Right. Right, and when you see, I'm going to be in a minute sending two things, and then you'll see that. So, I am sending the name, which is Ann. It's receiving it as past name, so it's putting Ann in past name. And then it's saying alert, hello, concatenated with past name. And we see, hello, Ann. And if you run this and put your name in, you'll see hello with your name.
See, actually, this is a better way that way you don't get confused in locality of the variables.
Oh, yeah, no, as I said, there are.
This is a better way, it's less confusion.
And there are people that definitely agree with you, and there are people who will argue with you. I mean, it would be a wonderful world if we could get everybody to agree on the best way to do something. However, as simple as this, we can't get it. Okay? So. I think probably if you were to take a vote, the majority would agree with you.
Right.
But there are definitely those who don't.
What is the past name?
It's the receiving. I'm sending out because I took in the name, right, with the prompt. And I'm now saying, okay, go do that function, which I call basic hello, and send it the content of the name. So it sends up the content, and when it gets here to the basic hello function, it says, oh, whatever you're sending me, I'm going to store in past name. And so it takes and puts Ann in past name. And then within that function, it writes out hello concatenated with past name.
Can you call that anything?
Yes, apples and bananas would work. Okay? I don't know why. That's always the answer I give when somebody asks me, can I call it anything? It's apples and bananas. It can be called anything. You can call it field one down at the bottom, and then you can call it the answer up at the top.
Right.
And set field one to the answer. What it does is it sends the content. It looks here and says, you want to do basic hello, and you want to send the content of the variable called by name. So it says, I will send the content of that variable.
I think what's confusing is because the, like, we have to name the variable the name and then go and put that stuff in, but task name just comes up.
That's right.
That's right.
The function, whatever I put in there, it defines for you as the area where it is going to receive it in. So it defines it for you.
In basic hello is the name of the function.
That's right. Okay.
In some languages, they give you the facility of, that's known as a parameter variable, and you can say parameter variable pointing to your real variable.
That's true. Like,
for instance, in PL SQL.
Yeah. I don't know PL SQL.
Oh, you don't know, okay.
Oh, PLSQL. Yes,
right.
I know PLSQL,
yeah,
then, yes.
Then you can say parameter, whatever that past name, in this case, in the function, right? Past name, pointing to, it'll be the name.
Yeah, no, so and you can do that in Visual Basic. They have a by reference and by value
right.
pass. That's the same basic thing. And anybody that's not in those classes can ignore what was just said. Okay, so now we get to 3.5. And 3.5 asked me to enter my first name. So I'll enter Anne. And then I'm saying OK. So I'm going to click the OK button. And then I'll enter Costa. So I am going to enter your last name. I put in Costa. And now I'm going to click OK again. And it says, hello, Anne Costa. Okay. So this time, I actually used the same names. But the point here is I'm sending up two things. It doesn't care what they are. This is the first one. This is the second. So the order matters. The order matters. The first thing I said is going to go to the first place I can receive. And the second thing I send is going to do the second thing I receive. Okay? So, just to prove that, let's say I take all of this code. And we'll call this, come on, what did we just do? Hello? What, oh, there it is, all right. So we're going to call this pass reverse .html. So I called, what did I just save?
Pass reverse.
Yeah, but it doesn't say that I saved it, so I saved something else. Okay, file, save as. I had a feeling I lost track of something. Pass reverse .html. Save. Yes, now it's got the right name. So I'm going to change this, and I'm going to have last name and then first name. So I want to receive it that way. Okay, so I'm going to save this. And I'm going to come over here and I'm going to do a control O. And I keep saying that so I won't forget that. I really dislike not having menus. Okay, so enter your first name and enter your last name, Costa. and now I click OK, eventually, when it stops saying that. And it says, hello, Costa Ann. So it reversed them. Okay, so what I did on this one is I entered Anne and I entered Costa. So it sent, and when it sent, whoops, Anne to there. Now that's called last name. It didn't care. It's position that matters. So it sent that one there, and then it sent the last name into the second one, and so it sent it there, and so I ended up with Costa Ann. Okay, so I ended up with Costa Ann. I don't do the colors quite as much as you do, but I've got my color scheme too.
We separate.
But that's what I'm supposed to do up there. So I sent Ann Costa, but what got received is Ann got sent to the first one, Costa got sent to the second one, and so I ended up with Costa Ann. Okay? So that shows how it does that. Okay? So the position is what matters. The first goes to the first, the second goes to the second, third goes to the third, whatever we're doing. It's the position that matters. Okay? Okay. Enter your first name, John Doe. Hello, John Doe. And the only difference there is that I went back to using different names. So, first name went into first received. And last name went into last received. Okay, so I went back to using different names. The one prior to this, I used the same names on the sent and the receive, just to prove that it doesn't matter. Okay, now this one starts to get a little bit more the way the world works. The world doesn't work with prompts as much as it works with taking things in. So now I am going to take in John Doe again. Okay, so I'm taking in John Doe, and I have a click event here. Okay. So I click the click event, and it says, hello, John Doe. Now, this one is starting to get just a little bit tricky. Okay. So first of all, I set up a form. An action I didn't need. The action just means reloaded if somebody double clicks. So action I didn't need. And I gave them an ID and a name. Okay? I called the form, I gave the form an ID and I gave the form a name. I'm actually not using either of those. But there are some things that want an ID, and there are some things that want a name, and I've kind of given up trying to figure out what wants an ID and what wants a name, and I give it to them both. I don't have to think. Okay? Because it's a moving target, like so much in computing and web development, rather, is a moving target. So I've got a form here, and I said, enter your first name. And the person has a place to type in their first name, and I had them type John. And then I said, enter your last name, and they typed Doe. Now, now I have a button that's controlling it. Okay? When I was using the prompt, I had the OK button on the prompt itself. Right. Now I'm not using a prompt, so I made a button. So I said, input type equals button. The name of the button is to click. The value is click. That means what's written on the button. The value is what's written on the button. On click. So on click event. On click. Do the function called basic hello and send it information about first in and last in. So first in is received, last in is received, just the way I did it before. But here's the difference. When I put out the alert, I say alert hello, concatenated with the value in first in, concatenated with the space, concatenated with the value that's in last in. Now this is a kind of subtle thing. When I put up a prompt and I type information in, it just takes the information. It doesn't take anything else about it. But when I have a piece on the form, when I have a button, a place on the form, this is type as text, when I have that place, I can give it other properties. I can make it pink. I can make it green. I can make it a big font. I can make it a small font. I can make it all kinds of different font, pick a font. I can have a lot of different information on that. The piece of information I want is the value. And the value is what you typed in. Okay? So the value is what you entered. And because there's a lot of other things associated with that text box, I have to say specifically, I want the value. Meaning specifically, I want what you entered. I want what you entered. I don't care about the color. I don't care about the size. I don't care about anything else. I want the value that you entered. And so I have to say first in dot value, meaning take the value property of what was entered. Take the value of what was entered in first in. Take the value of what was entered in last name. Now I didn't have to do that with the prompt because the prompt doesn't have all the other things that can be associated with the text box. A text box can have other things associated with it. And so I have to say, because I am using a text box, input type equals text, because I'm using a text box, I have to tell it to just take the value.
Excuse me?
Yep.
When you define the form, action equals number sign, what exactly is that?
That means reload if you happen to double click.
Reload what?
The page.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, number sign, we saw that on another thing, and that's why I crossed it out, is it's not necessary.
Oh.
I crossed it out up there. It's not necessary. But what that does is, well, let me save this and go back, and I don't think I can even do it. But if I double click...
Right.
It just will reload the page as opposed to mess things up. But I don't think it even notices, really. It just goes and does that. And that used to be something people did a lot because I guess clicking was slower or something like that. But it's not a requirement, but you still see it out there quite a lot in various forms. So I crossed it out, and I probably should just go in and take it out. But it's not used, because it's not used that often. Okay, where have I got the JavaScript samples? What one did I just look at? 3A?
4, 5.
What?
You just did 4.
Okay. What was this? Which one was that? That was that one. Okay.
5, 5.
So I did 4, 5, so I want 5, 5. Okay, so now I'm going to take them both in and I'm going to write it out onto the form. So I am not... This looks much more like the kind of form that you would see where I've got two places to enter the data in. I click and I put it out, put my result out. So it says, hello, John Doe. So, in this case, on click, I did the basic and first in, last in. And again, I've got those actions that I don't need. You know how number sign means to go to a particular point in a page.
Right.
And the number sign and then the point in the page, or if you just have a number sign, it means at the beginning of the page. Load at the beginning of the page. So I've now taken in, and on the click event, on click, I am sending first in and last in. So now I want to put the thing out. And the problem is, I have to tell it exactly where to put it. So I have the form as the ID and the name of info. And I'm saying, go to the document, and the document is the whole page that's available to me. Go to the area called info, and this form has an area called info. Go to the area called info. Find the thing called name out, and change its value. Okay, so I'm saying here, concatenate on the right. I'm saying concatenate hello with first in value with a space with the value and last name. And make that hello John Doe or whatever it is that I put in. Make that the value of the name out field, which is located on the info form, which is located on the document. So I want to put that into the make that the value, make that the value of name out, which is located in the form called info, which is on the document. So find a spot to put this in. Well, the spot is I got to tell it where it is because it doesn't know where to put something out. Okay, I'm putting it out someplace. So I have to tell it where to put it out. And I have to say, take the value, change the value actually, change the value of what is in name out, and nothing's there right now. Change its value of name out, which is located in the form called info, which is located on the document. So I have to tell it where it can find it. Go to document, go to info, and on info you'll find name out. So go to the document, go to the area called info, and in the area called info, you'll find name out. Change its value to say hello, concatenated with John, concatenated with the space, concatenated with Doe.
Okay.
We're getting into some kind of stuff, so let me know if you have questions.
I just don't get it. I don't even have any questions.
Well, it's a matter of, I've got, you understand that I sent this information up, right? I said, on click, do basic hello, send it, whatever you typed into first name and whatever you typed into last name, actually send it all the information about first in and last in. It receives it as first in and last in. It could have received it with different names. I use the same. And then I say, okay, now take the value, which is means what you typed. We don't care what font you typed it in. We don't care what color you typed it in. Take the value. So the value here is John, and the value here is Doe. So I put those all together. Now, where am I going to put it? Well, I have to tell it where to put it. First of all, could I have made my life easier and just done a document right out here and put it out? Yes. Okay, I could have just put a document right in there and written it out. But that's not what I wanted. I wanted to write it inside a text box. So, if I want to write it inside a text box, I have to tell it where that text box is located. Because I could have a great big humongous page. I got to tell it where it's located. So it starts out by saying it is on the document. It is in a place called info. And when I defined the form, I gave it an ID of info and a name of info. So that tells it it's in the place called info. But there's a lot in the place called info. So what do I want? I want to put it specifically in name out. And I want to make it the value, meaning I want to make it the content of that box. So I want to make it the content of that box. So I'm saying, find the document. Find the area called info. Inside that, find the area called name out. And put the value that I just put together, hello John Doe, into that box. So this is the box that is going to say, hello John Doe. That's what it's going to say, hello John Doe. So all that is doing is finding it. And the way you do subcategories when you're talking in computers frequently is the dot. So go to the document, dot, within the document find info, dot, within info find name out, dot, put in the value. Or you can do it backwards and say, I want to change the value of the field called name out, which is located in the area called info, which is located on the document. You can either read it either way.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
How does it associate that name out to the last text box?
Because that's the way I set it up. When I set it up, I've got my first text box I call first in.
Right.
My second text box I call last in.
Right.
And the next text box, which is after the button, because the button's before it,
right,
I call name out.
Name out, I see.
And so it's associating. So I've given it a name. I have to give it a name.
Right.
And I've said, this is the name of that text box that I want to use. Got any more questions?
So basically, within the function, if I said document.info, instead of saying name out, if I said last in, then it would put that whole thing in the last.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I don't think I've ever played with that, but that's a good way of illustrating it. Yeah. Yes, ma'am, do you have any other questions? Does it make a little more sense?
A little more.
Okay. It really is the fact that computers are dumb machines. And they got to know exactly where you want them to put it. And so you have to tell them exactly where you want them to put it. Okay? I mean, they really are. They're dumb machines. They follow directions well. So maybe the humans are the ones that have a problem because we don't follow directions well. But the machines follow directions very well as long as you give them the right directions.
And the definition of the size 50 is what? Is that the...
How long it's going to be.
How long it's going to be.
Yeah.
Now, how does it determine the...
And I don't remember what the default is, but it has a default if I didn't put that in.
Now, you just specified how long it is. How does it know to position it the way it has done, nicely?
Well, same as it does with a form. It's just, it goes down up against the wall.
I see.
Because I set up here... The first paragraph says enter your first name. I didn't put a break.
Right.
So the box is right after it.
I see.
Then I close the paragraph, which means I do a break.
Right.
And then I started another paragraph for enter your last name.
Okay.
And after I put both the name and the type text, it closed it. Then...
Click. And then okay.
And click was also in a paragraph. They're all in paragraphs. So I controlled the BRs because of knowing that a paragraph will yield a BR.
What is it that gives you the box? Input?
The form, yes. The form where you say input type equals text. It's the type. If you make an input form, if you go back to look at my examples of forms, forms have different types. And this is a type as text, and this is a type button. And I can put different things on it. I've got back in the HTML5, there is this area that says forms. And go back and look at those forms, because that shows you how to set it up. And what I'm doing here is setting up a form that I'm going to use to gather information that I want to pass to the function, and also to have a spot where the function can return its results. And we're actually going to, not this week because we're running out of time, we're going to get into the return that can go in the function, which makes life a lot easier and is my favorite way of doing it. But for now, you need to understand this basic idea of, there's the form, I'm taking some information in on it, and I'm putting some information back out on it. And the function is telling me what to put back out. Okay, do you think you're good enough to move on, or...
Yeah, just one thing, that action, that stuff, you don't need that, because you have to cross that on there, so that's...
Yeah, right. And I probably should take it out. It's habit that I put it in, and then I actually stopped the habit, but these have probably been up for a couple of years. Because believe it or not, I do not write new examples every year. I usually write some new examples every year, but not all of them. Okay, I'm really kind of scared of this one, but we're going to try it anyway. Why is it decided that it wants to do this? What is this and where? And can I get rid of it?
Just hit escape. See if
you can. You really think so?
Try. No,
it just came right back. I think it wants to be dragged someplace, but I can't figure out where to drag it. oh well, it's just going to sit there. Okay, so now I am saying end of the first name, John Doe, and I'm clicking. And now I am going to do a view page source. And now I've got those two little lovely things that I get periodically. Okay, so anyway. On this one, notice I just told it to go do basic hello. So when it did basic hello, I didn't send in any data. Mm-hmm. But I want the data. So I said, I want you to print out the hello John Doe. So basically what I have to do there, since I didn't send it anything, is I have to do and say, okay, go to the document, go to the area called info, go to the area called first in, and take out the value. So that means it gets John. Now, go to the document, go to the area called info, go to the box called last in, and pull out its value, and it gets Doe. Now, take hello John Doe and make it the value of the box called name out, which is on the info area of the document. So I cannot send any data if I don't want to. I always do. But if I don't want to, I can skip sending data, but then I have to tell it very precisely where the data is located. Okay? No, because that's in HTML. That's not in JavaScript. Okay. This enter your first name is not in JavaScript. It's just part of HTML. And I can send it in HTML. I'm sending it up to do a JavaScript function. So I'm saying on click, go do a JavaScript function. Now the JavaScript function has to be in a script. But I can tell it just go do the JavaScript function in HTML. Because on click events, remember, and this may be why they didn't make you have bad JavaScript, on click events, a JavaScript that doesn't need to be in a script tag. We looked at those last time. On mouse over, on mouse out, on click, they don't have to be in JavaScript tags. Everything else has to be, but they don't. And maybe that's the reason, is that it would get too complicated if I tried to have an on-click event, but I had to switch over to JavaScript script before I had the on-click event. And so that may be a good reason why they didn't do it that way. Okay, that was the end of that group. There are additional examples that kind of go with that group that I'd like you to look at. And I'm going to go back next week and start looking at more complicated functions. But we've got the beginning. And in fact, that's probably not a bad thing to break it up into 2 weeks. Because I was going to hit it all with you, but we spent longer on the exercise than I thought. Okay. We're done.